Bonjour and welcome to The French Way, the podcast about French-inspired wellness for healthy living and sustainable weight loss. I'm Karen Gombeau, your French-American host and certified weight loss coach. So grab a coffee and a croissant and let's go. So hello, everyone, and welcome back to this episode of The French Way. I'm absolutely thrilled to have Bita Hashempour on my podcast today. She and I connected a few months ago, and she is such a lovely, down-to-earth person. I think everybody's going to love this episode. Just a little bit about her. After a trip to Paris in 2010, Bita became a self-proclaimed Francophile, falling in love with France and French culture. And after several visits, she eventually made the move to Paris, lived out her dream as a local among the Parisians. And today she runs one of the leading French lifestyle sites, monpetitfour.com. I'll put it in the show notes for everybody. She's a host of the podcast, The Life of a Bon Vivant, and enjoys hosting luxury retreats in France for other female Francophiles. So, Bita, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on, Karen. I'm so excited. I love chatting with you. So I am excited for a little fun coffee chat here with each other. And yeah. I do have my coffee. So
you have your coffee.
It's pretty much attached to me. So if you see me sipping from this, it's coffee, not wine.
So tell me a little bit, you know, where did your love of France come from? Like, how did you discover it? Tell us a little bit about that.
So it's funny because in my family growing up, my sister was actually the Francophile. She had French class growing up. They didn't have French classes when I grew up, but we only had the option of Spanish. So she took French and she loved France. And in college, I ended up having a sweet mate that became a best friend. And she was a Francophile and she had studied French just like my sister had. And she moved to France. She moved to Paris and lived abroad for a year. And while she was there, she called me and she was like, "You need to come for winter break. Come visit me. Come stay with me. It'll be so fun." And, you know, I was like most 20-year-olds. I had obviously heard about Paris and equated it with being like a very fashionable, you know, posh place to see. So I definitely had Paris on my bucket list of places to see. It's just prior to that trip, it wasn't like a top priority. But anyways, I thought, well, I have a place to stay. So I just need to figure out the plane ticket. And so I did that. I got like a very last minute plane ticket and spent Christmas break with her in Paris. And she happened to live like in Saint-Germain, one of, you know, the very posh areas of Paris. She really didn't know prior to, you know, choosing the apartment, but it just worked out like that. So we had the most incredible time together. We were going to La Durée and eating macarons and going to all the cute little cafes and just looking like a bunch of tourists running around Paris, having the time of our life. And I remember coming home from that trip. First of all, I didn't want to leave. I was so depressed getting on the plane back home. But I remember coming back and just feeling like, wow, that trip completely changed me. I mean, just for someone like me who's such a foodie and loves to cook, just from the food side of things, I was so inspired and it completely changed the way I was cooking and eating in my life. So I started collecting all these French cookbooks and cooking, and that's how I started my blog. And since that trip, I just kept going back to France, visiting over and over. That friend that lived there, she actually ended up meeting a Frenchman and marrying him. As the story goes, you know, with most American women, we meet a nice Frenchman. And so she lives there still today and has a cute little baby boy. And Yeah. And it eventually got to the point where I was like, I want to have this experience for myself mm-hmm. too. And I got a year-long visa and moved to France in 2021 and got to live like a Parisian.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about that specifically. What did you do in 2021? And as a Parisian, like, what do you associate with being Parisian?
Yeah. So I think I'll say this. First of all, I knew going into it, I wanted to have this experience because living in France is different than just visiting France. And it's rightfully so. We tend to romanticize Paris, especially. And it's true. It is a very romantic city and everything is just so beautiful and charming. But living somewhere, especially a foreign country where they have another language, that can be really challenging. And I wanted to kind of test that out for myself. And I think it was really important. I'll say this because sometimes, you know, listeners are thinking about this idea for themselves too. Like, hey, maybe I'll live there. I want to say, I think it was very important that I was in a sort of lifestyle that was prime for living abroad, and especially living in France and doing it the way that so many of us dream of doing it. I worked for myself. I, you know, had enough income generated by that point in my business that I could choose to live in a nice apartment in a nice area and comfortably afford Paris because mm-hmm. it is, of course, pricey. So all of that worked in my favor. And I think because of that, I had a really incredible experience that year living in France. I did speak the language by that point, not fluent by any means, but I could get around conversationally. And I just met the nicest French people, which sometimes I know people say is not always the case. But if you really do speak a little bit, you will have a completely different reception. And so that all contributed to me having an amazing experience. And for me, what I really took away in terms of what felt very Parisian for me was just, I think, going about your day with a little bit of a more relaxed mm-hmm. personality. There's this idea here in the States, like we're always worried about something, worried about work, worried about weight, worried about, you know, the kids and their schedules. And it's a lot of, honestly, it's a little bit of like a stressful energy that you come across in the States. And in France, I think what makes Parisian women seem so beautiful and elegant is that they do have a little bit of this like relaxed energy. My favorite thing was I walked into a store once, it was a little boutique, and I picked up a pair of white pants and it was like a really small size. And I was looking at it like, I don't know. And I'm very petite, but I was like, I don't know if I can fit into that. And I was talking to the shop owner and I told her, I said, I don't know, you know, like after all the bread and cheese I've been having living here. And she was like, so what, you know? And she's like, this is life. It's okay. You are meant to enjoy these things. And if needed, you'll get the next size up or whatnot. And she was just so like chill about it and who cares. And it was so refreshing. And it was just such a good example of, I think, that Parisian attitude. So for me, I came back from that year, I think just way more chill about everything.
Yeah, I think that's an amazing example because it's true that when we're in something, we don't really notice it or see it. It's true. I fully understand what you're saying because it's like we're not rushed. You know, I mean, Paris, of course, there's some stress and everything, but to go and sit for an hour or an hour and a half with your friends and have coffee and kind of just sit there and nobody's in any kind of rush for you to leave. You know, the people who are serving you coffee, you could sit there for an hour and a half. You know, nobody's looking at their watch. And it's true that I love the way that you described it. There is a relaxed energy because I think there is an energy, definitely, a high city vibe or big city vibe, but it is more relaxed. So I hadn't heard somebody refer to it like that. But yeah, I would agree.
It's funny because when I would tell them that, they were like, what? Paris? Oh my gosh, it's crazy. It's busy, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I'm like, no, you have to come to the States and see what the energy there is like to understand. And even I'm from California, which is obviously a lot more relaxed than even New York, for example. But even in California, when you get together with your girlfriends, it's like everyone's on a schedule. Everyone's got stuff to do. And it's just not the same as in France.
So you're also thinking of coming back. What motivated you to start thinking about coming back?
Yeah. So when I left Paris, I had to leave because I had only a year-long visa. So even if I had wanted to continue staying, I would have had to come back to the States and reapply. But like I mentioned, I have my own business. I'm self-employed. So I knew that if I wanted to come back, I would have to really think long-term, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And figure out the right visa path to do that. So I really mulled it over. I feel like the year in Paris gave me a lot to work with in terms of what is my lifestyle going to be like? What is running a business going to be like? Because French bureaucracy is no joke. It's very, very easy to run a business in the States compared to France. So I knew I had to mentally prepare myself for that. But the fact is that I think one of the big things that influenced me wanting to come back was when I came back, I faced huge reverse culture shock. And I mentioned this in an Instagram post. And Karen, I got like over 1,000 likes and people responding to this just from so many expats who had experienced something similar, which is this idea that, you know, you come back home and you're a changed person. It's really hard for you to adapt back to the culture that you're from. And the fact is, there's a lot of good qualities and things about Americans and living in America. I don't want to act like it's this awful place to be. It definitely isn't. It's just that I had grown as a person and I had adopted a lot of French ways of being. And I truly miss that being back here. And I felt like my heart was still in Paris. So for me, when I realized that that was not going away, months had passed, a year had passed, and I was still feeling that way, I got very serious about, okay, so what are the next steps? How can I make this work? And so yeah, fingers crossed, things will work out with, you know, my next visa and I'll be able to be back there soon.
Yeah, there's a couple points in there that I find really interesting. So the reverse culture shock, it is no joke. I remember also when I came back from France my first time, but it's with anywhere that somebody has gone and lived something significant in their life. And then, you know, you go back to a situation where you have grown, but the people around you haven't lived what you have lived and they've lived different things. And so it can be very, very hard to adjust. Did you do a podcast episode on it or not? You did.
Yeah, actually recently, because I got so many different responses on Instagram that I wanted to share that conversation over on the podcast too.
Yeah, I think for anybody who's thinking about moving abroad, it's not something that we think about. So I would encourage anybody who's listening to go check out that episode because it is definitely a real thing. And the other thing I just want to mention, because a lot of people also today dream of moving to France. The number of people, and I'm in a lot of groups on Facebook and, you know, a lot of people reach out. The number of people who dream now to move to Europe and to France, it's significant. But how would you qualify the whole process of thinking about moving to France? Like, kind of, what do you need to anticipate? What do you need to think about? Because I think it takes a lot of grit and determination. But I've been here so long, I'm not sure. So tell us a little bit about that process.
Yeah. You know, actually, one of the best comments I got on that whole discussion was someone that said, you have to be adaptable to be adoptable. And it's so true that I think the biggest thing that helped me going to France was that I was ready to adapt and change my way of being and my way of life to meet the French and to be welcomed into their country. I never forgot that I was a guest in their country. And this can be, I think, really challenging for people. First of all, I would say first thing is do your best to educate yourself on just some of the cultural norms that you will be faced with. From the simplest thing of, you know, make sure you say bonjour first. You know, that can definitely change the course of an interaction or the impression that someone gets of you and how they treat you. So little things like that can make a big difference to bigger things like, hey, the French are not in a rush and everything is not about convenience and efficiency. So yes, at home, you may have a problem with your cell phone and be able to call up AT&T or, you know, Verizon Wireless and have the issue fixed like that. In France, it doesn't work like that. Be prepared for it to possibly take weeks. And that is normal. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you go in with that mentality, you allow yourself to be a lot more flexible and understanding and cooperative. And it just helps with you and your experience. Mm-hmm. And I think just in general in life too, it's been my mentality to always work on my reaction to something versus trying to expect someone else to change. Like if, you know, the guy at the local floral shop is going to be kind of grumpy and not so friendly, it's up to me to shake that off and still be nice and still smile and still, you know, act like he's being super pleasant just because at the end of the day, when we walk away from that situation, I can choose to be annoyed and frustrated and like, oh, horrible customer service. He was so rude. Or I can be like, oh, wow, what lovely flowers I got. I love his selection. You know, it's your perspective. And I think you have to really adopt that mentality in France a lot of times because things are done differently and it's not always the same as it is back home. And I think the better you get at that, then the better experience you have. So most French people are very, very lovely, but the customer service is not their strong suit.
Yeah, no, and it's funny because my brother was here recently for several days, and at the end he said, Karen, it's taken us a week to figure out. And they just waited and waited and waited to get the bill whenever they went out to lunch or out to dinner, They're like, they don't want to bring us the bill. You have to ask for it. And it took them a while to figure that out. So there are things like that that are charming. I think exactly what you said, you can't expect things to be like they are in the US because they're not. They're not. So yeah, it's great, great learning. And so tell me a little bit also, because I know you're a big foodie. What do you like about the French food and the French, you know, I would say culinary culture in general and the way they look at food and meal times? Like, what do you find so appealing?
Can I say everything?
Yes.
I think when it comes to the culture around it, for me, I love that it's very communal. It's very social. Mm. Everybody really appreciates and respects mealtime. Even if you work for a big corporation, you're still going to get at least an hour of time for lunch. So you'll see a lot of French people out in the cafes enjoying a nice lunch with each other. And for me, that is really important because it's something we don't always get to do in the States either. So the culture, I would say just that social aspect of it. But in terms of the actual food, for me, I am a big snob in terms of quality of my food. And I, because I cook a lot, I can be judgy and picky about like how my food tastes and looks and how fresh it is. So for me, being in France, it was a dream because really, even when you go to somewhere that's very basic, very casual, you know, not a fancy restaurant, you're still going to get excellent quality food. Mm-hmm. Now, all the meals may not be your favorite taste, or you may have a certain spot where you prefer, you know, their French onion soup versus another. But at the end of the day, it's still all really high quality food. And mm-hmm. I think for me, it was just really nice when I would go shopping for my week and I would go to pretty much any market that was around me and found high quality food. And I didn't have to work hard to find it. When I would pick up items in the store, I didn't have to read through 5 million ingredients and figure out what was what. I always use the example that my sister and I experienced on a trip years ago where she was like, let's pick up some orange juice from the grocery store. And I was like, okay. And we go into the store and there's a bunch of different bottles of orange juice. And she's like, which one do we get? And I told her, well, let's pick up one and just look to see which one has the least amount of ingredients, which one's the closest thing to actual orange juice. And every bottle we picked up, the back, it was just like jus d'orange, which is like orange juice. There was literally nothing else in it. And I was expecting this long list of preservatives like you mm-hmm. do in the States. And I always remember that because it's so true. There's very minimal processed ingredients in a lot of like the things that you'd consider to be whole foods or real foods. And that is just so refreshing because it can be such work in the States to find that. So I really appreciated it for as a foodie who was going out to eat, but also as a home cook.
Did you find it, the cooking, and I mean, did you have a lot of choice, and were the ingredients like, how do they compare to the US? Like, what did you like about cooking itself?
Well, first I have to say just a quick caveat that I did miss Mexican food. There is no Mexican food in Paris. And coming from California, I miss my guacamole and my tacos, but I had to learn to just do it at home. It's not quite the same, even as a home cook, you know, it's just not the same. But yeah, as a home cook, I think it was just really nice to be able to create very simple recipes and have them taste very extraordinary just because the quality of the ingredients was so good. You could do, you know, a penne pasta with some chicken and keep it really simple, some veggies, but because the chicken and the vegetables themselves tasted so good, a very seemingly simple recipe would always turn out really good. So I really loved that. And I loved having access to the fresh markets. I mean, I would go to the one near me every Sunday and pick up as much fresh produce as I can. And so I really tend to miss that a lot. We have farmers markets in California, of course. But I think I would say the accessibility of it in Paris, in many parts of France, is very appealing. Here, I have to make the intention to get up early and drive out to the farmer's market and look for the parking and bring my little basket along. And over there, I would just walk out my apartment door and a block away was an incredible market. So,
Yeah, no, it's a very good point because we are lucky for the quality of the food, for the clean ingredients. It's the same thing. I would encourage people just to simply, in the past, I've also compared, for example, either ketchup or yogurt, the same brands. It's actually very scary when you look at the ingredient list in the US. And I also think that that's why, I mean, of course, there's health issues, but just nobody's on medication. And, you know, there's so few people also who have chronic diseases. And of course it exists, but it's just that the sheer number of people, just it's not even comparable. And I think it has to do with just the quality of food that that you can actually, I think we're very lucky in France that it's such a country that where agriculture is so important that you can, you know, drive 2 miles down the road and just buy something from a farm. And pretty much everywhere you live in France, you can do that. And you know that they would have, you know, produced it that morning or the week before, or so we are very, very lucky for that.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the big thing that doesn't get talked enough about when it comes to like health. And especially in the States, we talk a lot about weight loss. And I think it's there, the focus is always on carbs, sugar, fat, and, you know, eating what we say is clean eating. And the truth is that even when you're eating a relatively healthy diet, you really, I think, have to take it one step further and look at where are those whole foods from? Like, did you pick up the tomato, you know, at the regular grocery store? Or is that tomato from the farmer? Because there's a difference, even with something that's considered healthy and natural. Unfortunately, the way that food is produced in the States is not organic unless it actually is organic. So in France, you don't really have to worry about that as much. A lot of the pesticides and things that we use here in the States are banned in Europe, but that's not the case in the States. And I think that really makes a huge difference because a lot of the things that I would eat in France, I wouldn't really eat here in the States because I knew if I did, I would gain weight. I could get away with it in France, but I couldn't get away with it in the States. Now, that said, I'm a big advocate of moderation and balance and not eliminating any particular food group. But I think in recent years, I've just become much more picky about the foods that I'm actually picking up and using and where they're from, how they've been grown and treated versus just like how many carbs are in this, how much sugar is in this, because those are important, but it's also important to figure out, well, your yogurt may not have that much sugar in it, but where is the dairy from, you know? So
a lot of my listeners are, you know, in the US or in the UK, are there things that you adopted also in France that in terms of either how you eat or what you eat that you brought back with you to the US that also people could, I want to say, easily adopt or try?
One of the things that I really started doing was one, pretty much exclusively shopping from the farmer's market. I do sometimes pick up stuff from like Whole Foods or something if I really need something, but I pay a little bit more and just eat a little bit less of certain foods in the States so that I can have that quality. And, you know, I want to be mindful too, because I don't want to sound pretentious and tell a lot of Americans, hey, you should go only shop at the farmer's market, because it is hard right now, especially with inflation. Groceries are very expensive as it is. But I think if you're in the States and you're looking to adopt that French way of eating, try to minimize, one, how much you're eating out. A lot of French people actually don't eat out that much. It's probably more so in Paris, just because it is a major city. But the reality is a lot of French people cook and eat at home. And I do that as well. I maybe at the most eat out once a week just for the social aspect of it. So I really try to focus on home cooking. And two, when I am in the store, I am looking at those labels to find the closest thing I can to its most natural form. So yogurt, I was one of those people that would see I think it's Yoplait that makes those wee yogurts that are in a glass jar, and it looks very French, right? And you think, oh, this is very French, but it's not at all French. I feel like the very French thing to do is pick up plain yogurt that has very minimal ingredients in it, and then potentially add some fresh fruit into it, maybe some lightly sweetened granola at the most. But and maybe if you need it to be sweet, a little honey or something. But that is the French method versus finding something that already has the sugar and fruit in it. So just looking at those labels, if you're buying meat, chicken, trying to buy organic, but that might mean buying less because it is pricey. I mean, I definitely don't buy that much either. And I try to incorporate a lot more vegetarian meals or meals where I'm using like beans and chickpeas and things like that to get my protein. But I think you have to be a little bit pretentious and snobby with your food to be adopting the French way, because they are they're no nonsense when it comes to their food quality, and they do not accept anything less than very good quality food.
Yeah. And I think that, so yes, I think you do pay more in the US, but it's also, I see it as an investment in your health. You know, invest a little more upfront and down the road, it will pay back. And the other thing is, I fully agree that quality over quantity is also a big thing, because it's much more nutritional. It's going to hold you over more because it's less processed. It's got less, like you said, pesticides or, you know, less, I don't even know that. I mean, it's, I think the number of things that is probably sprayed on produce is pretty scary if we went into that. But yeah, so there are ways, I think, in the US that can definitely, it's about making choices.
Yeah.
About making choices and what's important for you. And I think that also, and I'd like your point of view on this, is cooking, because it's something I fully push also with my clients, very important. It doesn't need to be difficult.
No,
it keeps it very simple. Would you agree?
Yes. Yeah. I am. It's funny because I have a food blog. A lot of people think I'm there whipping up like beef bourguignon and like all these like, you know, elaborate meals every night. And I'm like, no, I'm actually a very lazy cook. I enjoy cooking. And when I have more time, I like to spend the time doing something that is like a 2-hour stew or whatnot. But the reality is too, there are many nights where I'm tired and I'm not really in the mood to do anything. But for me, the way I look at it, the way I kind of motivate myself to even do something simple is remembering how I feel after I've eaten the food. So I know since cooking at home more, when I go out to eat now, I feel awful afterwards. I mean, I could order something that would seemingly seem healthy, like fish with vegetables. And you think, wow, that's going to be a light and healthy meal. And it's just the way that they prepare the fish and the veggies. It's probably got like tons of butter and salt and whatnot that afterwards I always feel really horrible. So for me, that's kind of the motivation to cook at home. And when I cook simple meals, like last night, I literally boiled an egg and I took a piece of sourdough toast and I put pieces of the egg with some tomato and basil, a little olive oil and salt. And that was dinner. It was very satisfying, very easy to do. And I felt very good afterwards. I didn't feel heavy or like, I joke that I needed to do digestive yoga or anything because that's how I sometimes feel after eating out. And I was going to say too, I think that they're doing a lot more research now in this space on the gut and the gut microbiome and how a lot of those pesticides and chemicals are affecting the gut. So even like I said, foods that seem like they would be healthy, you know, the strawberries you pick up, you know, at the store, that can be detrimental if it's not organic and not been messed with. So I try to do a lot of greens in my day. My one thing that really helps me, if anyone's having, because I have a very sensitive stomach, and for me, I really have to pay attention to what I'm eating. I mix in mixed greens into at least one meal a day, and it really helps me stay regular and have my system functioning right. So if you're going to just do one little thing, just like having a box of mixed greens, it's so easy because you don't have to prepare it the way you do with like romaine lettuce or anything. Just grab a handful, throw it on your plate and mix it into your food. So I do that a lot.
And that is, I would say that is very French also. The amount of the amount of salad and, you know, that it goes so well with absolutely anything all year long. So listen, tell us a little bit, you know, I know you do retreats in Paris. Tell us a little bit about that and also, you know, where we can find you. And if my listeners wanted to work with you, how would they do that?
Yeah. So the retreats are really fun. Basically, because I lived in Paris, I was able to foster a lot of connections and form a lot of relationships with many of the artisans and people just like you who have certain services and offerings and form relationships with them. So now what I do is I curate these week-long trips where I work with, for example, my friend Veronique is someone who teaches cooking classes and she's incredible. She's French. She knows the markets super well. She knows her French food really well. And, you know, we have one of the experiences during the week be a market and cooking class with her. And it's always like a highlight of the trip, but we do different excursions and activities like that. And basically I tell people when you come on our retreat, all you need to do is book your flight and get yourself from the airport to the hotel. And from there, I handle everything else. So you can just sort of relax. You don't have to worry about meal reservations, your hotel reservation, any of that stuff. It's all taken care of. And it's all, you know, 4 or 5 star level. So they are luxury retreats, but it's the best way for me to really show you the best of Paris. And we do go to other areas of France too. Next year, hopefully we're going to do a provincial retreat, but this year we'll have one in Paris in October and one in Paris and Strasbourg for December. Yeah, they're a lot of fun. The women are always super friendly and they always walk away from these trips becoming friends with each other and they stay in touch. It's really fun to see that. And then in terms of people, if they want to hang out with me further, I do have a membership, an online membership. It's called Everyday France. And that's a lot of fun because we have a private community there where I show up every week in a live video and I do some kind of demo where I'm either cooking a recipe or baking something, or sharing style advice, packing tips, everything that falls under the scope of lifestyle. So, and we have a really fun book club in there that the ladies love, where we pick a French-themed book. They're in English, but they're based in France. And so we have a lot of fun there. So I invite you to join us.
Even me living in France, when I was, you know, following your recent retreat, which was in December, it's like, even I wanted to be part of it. So I would suggest also that people, you know, follow you on Instagram. You know, you're so great about posting, you know, all these wonderful Parisian things. So listen, this has been fantastic. Anything else you would like to add or something we didn't talk about that you would like to close with?
Well, first, thank you for having me. And I think I just would tell women out there, I think both of us always have this message for women to take care of themselves and, you know, appreciate their bodies and respect their bodies and make sure that every day you're making some time to put yourself first and really love yourself, because honestly, I don't think women get that enough in life. We're always the nurturers. We're always the one giving. So I really like to always encourage women to give back to themselves. And I think you help them do that with, you know, your health coaching, and hopefully I help them do that with a lot of the lifestyle topics that I bring forth. So.
Oh, thank you. I think there's just so much inspiration to take from this country, and I can only encourage people to come and discover it. I am telling everybody to be very careful in 2024 because it's the Olympics. Yes. It is the 80th anniversary of D-Day, and it is the opening of Notre Dame. And so there
is. Oh, my gosh.
Expecting the year to be insane when it comes to tourism. So please, anybody listening, plan ahead. Reserve your museums, reserve your, you know, your hotel rooms. Be careful of the prices. The prices are going up. But yeah, it's kind of, I would definitely encourage people to come. So thank you so much, Beata. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. If you enjoyed this podcast and are ready to lose weight and never gain it back in a way that feels pleasurable, then set up a free call with me. You can do this by clicking on the link in the show notes, going to my Instagram account, The French Way, or at my website, karengombo.com. Au revoir et à très bientôt.